Welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Hello friends, welcome to our broadcast. Now, to those of you that are new to this ministry, my name is Nathan Leal. I am a watchman called by God to cry out God's warning over this land. And in today's broadcast, I want to talk about what's going on over this land. You know, the news that you hear on your TV, if you have cable and you listen to CNN or Fox, that news is sterilized. That news is approved news by the elite, by people in high places that limit what we're allowed to hear. Now, that statement might sound odd and very conspiratorial, but brethren, it's true. The news in America now, unfortunately, is not the entire true news. And that's an unfortunate thing because a lot of people, even to this day, have this idea that America is the most pure country, the most honest country, the most true country, and everything that we are told is gospel truth. What we are told by our politicians, our leaders, leaders in our administration, military leaders, not everything that you hear is the truth. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because we are entering a time in America, we're entering a time that's going to affect you and your family, and still at this point in time, we have politicians, in fact our president, God bless him, is still denying that we're in a recession. I don't know what planet he lives on, and I don't know what he's referring to, but folks, it is beyond denial. We are beyond putting a spin. We are in trouble financially and economically in this country. The recession began last year at the end of last quarter. It began. We're there. I plan to share some news stories, some events, some happenings, and some stories of how lives are being affected right now in this country to show you that we are being lied to. So that's what this broadcast is about. Now, as a watchman, I'm up on the wall, and I'm watching the horizon to see the storm clouds approaching. And folks, let me tell you, the storm clouds are gathering, and they are coming right toward us. That's the job of a watchman. If you research the office of a watchman, it's all over the Old Testament that God ordains this calling to people for such a time as this. And it's no less an office today. God is trying to warn the people, and that is the whole purpose of my ministry, The Watchman's Cry, and this website. So thank you for listening. Now, to answer that question of what church might have ordained me, or do I have credentials? Let me tell you something. When Almighty God raises a voice and He gives them a job to do, they don't need man's endorsement. Why is God doing this? Why don't we turn to Scripture and let me show you the pattern of God when He tries to warn His people. So take your Bibles right now and turn to the Old Testament, to the book of 2 Chronicles, the last chapter in 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. And we're going to read verses 15 and 16. Okay, just follow along if you have your Bible there, and if you do not have a Bible, if you're in your car, or you're not at a place where you have a Bible, write down this reference, 2 Chronicles 36. To remember it, just remember this, the last chapter of 2 Chronicles, which is chapter 36. Now, in verse 15, it says, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent them by His messengers, who rose up early, and He sent them because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place." So He sent His messengers to the people. Verse 16, "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised their words, misused His prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people till there was no remedy." Over and over, brethren, God always sends His messengers to warn. And over, the people that hear the message make fun of them, they laugh at them, they mock at them, and they just think that they're crazy. This guy's nuts. Don't listen to him. And they just make fun of him. But by doing that, it doesn't change the message that they gave to them. The message was delivered, and the judgment of God ended up happening to the people. Now today, we have God raising up His messengers. And in the days ahead, you are going to see more and more people rising up with that same voice of the Holy Ghost, with the power of the Holy Ghost, with the same message. You're going to begin to see and hear about people that for the first time in their life having prophetic dreams and visions. And possibly, brethren, maybe you will be one of these people. If so, do what you need to do to seek God like you've never sought Him before. Ask Him for instructions and be obedient to what He says. Listen to Him. Learn to listen to the voice of God. Now, some people in this day might doubt and say, you can't hear from God. How do you know that was God talking to you? Let me tell you something. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. So if a person has learned to train his senses to the voice of God, to the voice of Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, speaking to their spirit, then that's what's going on. And that does take training to do that. So if that's possibly happening with you, you're starting to hear the voice of God in a way you've never heard before, listen to it, brethren. Brothers or sisters, listen to it. And also I encourage you to get full of the Word, get full of Scripture, devour the Scriptures. Because if you get any word from God that does not line up with the Bible, with Scripture, then it is not from God. Okay? So be a sponge and just envelop yourself with the Scripture. Know what the Bible says so that you will not be in error and cause other people to be in error. Also, if this is occurring to you, I also encourage you to bathe yourself in prayer. And if you can, even fasting. Bathe yourself in those things and God will begin opening up an area of your life that you never even thought possible. Now, I plan to write a few articles on encouragement nurturing to those that might be rising up in the Watchman ministry or the prophetic ministry. I'm going to write articles on that to address that. So hang in there if that is happening to you. I also want to say this. If you are a watchman, if you are a beginning watchman of God and you're starting to hear God telling you things, prepare for some persecution. When you start sharing the words of God, prepare to be mocked. Prepare to be made fun of by fellow Christians, and prepare to be actually dumped and ignored and dropped as friends with other Christians. So I encourage you to hang in there, because this office is not a glorious office. It's not something to have a crown here on earth and think that you're high and mighty. That is not what this office is about. This office is a hard office, but it is needed. And God is raising up those people here in these last days. Also, I want to encourage you and warn you that you should also prepare to be attacked by the enemy. Lucifer, Satan, the liar, in all kinds of ways, he's going to attack you because he does not want you to carry out this ministry or this mission and to share these words with others. He's going to attack you financially, possibly emotionally. Now, everyone's different, and depending on where you are in your life, Satan will try to find your weakness, and that's where he'll attack you. But not only there, he'll also attack you in just practical means. He might attack you if you're married by making your wife be oppressed or depressed, or maybe something financial will happen. You know, I have heard from several watchmen, even myself. Let me tell you this, folks. The enemy has attacked me. I'm under attack with a physical injury right now. In fact, one of my legs is injured. My knee, my ACL, was blown out recently, about 3 months ago, and that's what happened to me, so I'm having to work through that one. So it doesn't matter what he throws. It doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter what storms you face. We must go on, and we must do this job, because we're only here as a vapor, brethren. We're only here temporarily. Eternity is a long time, and we need to make sure that we encourage as many people as we can to see them through so they don't fall by the wayside, so that they're not part of the collateral damage of Satan. Now, God is there to strengthen, and most of all, let me tell you something. Never, never, never give up, okay? Do not give up. You're not crazy. Did you hear me? You're not crazy. And if there happens to be a husband and wife listening together right now, and maybe the wife has been hearing from God or the husband's been hearing from God, and let's say that there's a wife and her husband has been saying, you know, I've been hearing God tell me things, and you as a wife aren't sure if your husband's just having his imagination go awry, well, you hang in there and you support your husband, and you pray also for God to help you to support your spouse. Okay? This office is a hard office, but in this last day, God is raising up soldiers to get this job done. Okay? Now, if some of you know what I'm talking about and you're going through what I'm explaining right now and you do need encouragement, feel free to email me if you need prayer, because I'll pray for you and I'll write you back. And I want to be here to encourage other watchmen. I want to encourage other prophets and watchmen that are out there that feel abandoned and lonely, and sometimes you're even unsure if you're doing the right thing. I want to encourage you, and also the other purpose of this ministry is to encourage and to raise up and to help people identify with their place with God in these last days. And actually, the specific term I like to use is the remnant of God. Some of the other broadcasts, I am doing a teaching, we're doing lessons, and I'm showing with the Scriptures what the remnant is. So if you haven't heard any of those, go back and look for those to discover who and what the remnant is, because the remnant plays a very, very, very pivotal and important role in these last days. And he will use you if you will allow him to. Now, today's message is more warning. Now, there are some of you possibly, that's still doubt some of the things you're hearing. If you've heard me say that we're in trouble, that we are about to enter the time of God's judgment, and some very unpleasant events are going to be going on around you, possibly you're still doubting me. You don't believe me. Or maybe you've been hearing it from other voices here and there, and possibly someone loaned you this broadcast in a podcast form maybe, or maybe it's on a CD form, but you don't believe it. Now, you might have heard my previous broadcast, and while you were listening, it starts to sink in. Maybe that's you. And while you're listening, you know, by the time I'm finished talking, you look at maybe your husband or wife or your friends, or just you think to yourself, wow, that's very sobering, that news I just heard. And you have a feeling of soberness and excitement in your spirit. You have the feeling that you need to start doing something to getting prepared. But then maybe after about 30 minutes or an hour, you'll turn on the TV and you'll be watching a comedy show, or you'll get in your car and you'll go to the store. Maybe you'll go to the mall. And as you're at the mall or at the store, you see the sheeple, the minions, walking around shopping with bags in their hand. And then you might say to yourself and talk yourself out of it and say, you know, it doesn't really look like anything out of the ordinary is happening. I mean, look, people are shopping. Everything's fine. In the book of Luke 17:26, get your Bible if you can, if you have one handy. Take the Bible, go to Luke 17, and let's read verse 26. Look what it says. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Verse 27, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. You see that? Next verse. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought. You see that? They bought. They're at the store, they're at the mall, they went to the mall, they went to the market, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. They were still building their houses. I have a future. Nothing's going to go wrong. I'm building a brand new house. I'm going to live in it for 50 years. That's how the people thought. But, reading on, but the same day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. So see there, brethren, it doesn't matter if you go to the mall and you start finding yourself falling back to sleep and talking yourself out of the words that you're hearing this watchman tell you. Well, the economy's not that bad. Look, people are shopping. I mean, there's always going to be people shopping. Why? Because people need to eat. Of course, they're going to keep shopping. It's just that things are going to cost more money, or maybe they won't shop as much. But people are always going to be shopping. So don't let yourself be deceived that just because people are shopping, everything's okay. Now, I'm about to share with you some news to show you what came out today on May the 7th, 2008, on the internet, on news, different news sources. These are real news sources. I'm going to show you what's going on, the daily happenings. All right? So let's begin. And by the way, if you want to read some of the other news that I have, all you have to do is go to my website, watchmanscry.com, and I have links to a lot of the stories that I'm actually going to be discussing. So www.watchmans, that's M-A-N with an S, watchmanscry.com is my website. So go there and read the news for yourself and ponder it in your heart. Folks, we are beyond pretending. We are beyond talking ourselves out of whether or not this is just a normal business cycle or a business downturn. We're beyond that. So, the first news story that I wanted to share, how many of you heard a couple of months ago that CompUSA is gone? That computer store? They had over 100 stores nationwide. They're gone. No more CompUSA. They're gone. Why are they gone? Because they had troubles. So, they're gone. So, even though people went shopping, apparently not enough people went shopping, and CompUSA is gone. Also, Home Depot just had an announcement a few days ago saying they're going to shut down 15 stores nationwide, the stores that are underperforming. So prepare to have possibly a Home Depot in your town not be around anymore. So you'll have to go find another place to buy a hammer. Now, here's one new story. Ladies, how many of you have heard of Linens and Things? The bedding and home furnishing retailer, Linens and Things, on Friday, that was just this last Friday, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. That's the latest major retailer to succumb to the difficult consumer's environment. That story's from MSNBC. Now, they're going to close 120 stores. Done. Almost a quarter of them will be in California. Now, when I shared the story with my wife told me, well, that's not good, and I asked her why. And she said, because generally, and most of the time, the lady of the house is the one that wants to keep the house looking good and decorate the house and replace things that need replacing to make the house a home. And what that tells her is that women, because of the economic downturn, don't have money to be buying things that make the house a home and comfortable. So that's not good. So that's one indicator just right there that the economy is changing. Now, also, I have another story here looking at it. It says, disappearing. $6 trillion in equity is gone in America in housing wealth. The value of houses has gone down in different cities. There's different percentages of depreciation occurring. In some states, it's higher than others. Some states are saying their houses have dropped to half price. But it averages out nationwide to $85,000 for every homeowner in lost wealth. Now, let me tell you about one place in America where the houses, I mean, it is almost hard to believe. It's almost like a sci-fi movie. I mean, most people hearing it would say, there is no way. Are you serious? Well, let me tell you something. If you live in the state of Michigan, where all the jobs got outsourced and sent away, and there's no longer cars being built in Michigan at all those manufacturing plants. We have houses in Detroit, Michigan, for sale for below $1,000 right now. True story, brethren. $500, you can pick up a house in Detroit. $600, $700. Now, people might say, how can that be? Well, because there's no jobs. And because there are no jobs, people can't pay their mortgages and no one wants to buy a house. I mean, why move to Detroit when there's no jobs there? So it's gone down to that level. And Detroit, let me tell you something. Detroit's in a depression, folks. There's no way to put a positive spin on that. You can't tell me that we're not in a recession when you have houses in a city that are for sale for below $1,000. We're beyond playing games here. Now, if you don't believe me, go to Realtor.com, the website. Realtor.com. That's R-E-A-L-T-O-R.com. And when you get to the homepage, type in Detroit and then tell it, of course, it's in Michigan, and you will get all the houses that are for sale at all the realty offices in that city. And you're going to be shocked what you see. All right? Do that if you don't believe this little story. Now, let's go on. The title of this story says, Americans unload their prized possessions to make ends meet. The for sale listings on the online website hub Craigslist comes with notices, like the one from a teenager in Georgia who said her mother lost her job and pleaded, please buy anything you can to help out. Or a seller in Milwaukee who wrote in one post of needing to pay bills and put a diamond engagement ring up for sale to do that. We have people that are selling their things just for gas. The online flea market Craigslist is being inundated with individuals who are now at the desperate phase in different places nationwide just to make ends meet. Now, folks, when was the last time that happened? These stories that I'm talking about right now are unprecedented in our lifetimes. We're making history right now. That's what I'm trying to say. We are not in regular times. We are at the beginning. The clouds on the horizon that I see here when I look out of my watchtower, and I see the storms coming, and God has revealed to me that His storm is coming, and it's going to serve a useful purpose to judge America. That's what the whole purpose of this is for. So these aren't just regular occurrences that are going on. We're in trouble. As I look at more stories here, from boom to bust, Minnesota has new ghost towns. People are leaving Minnesota. Okay, here Home Depot closes 15 stores. And it goes on and on and on. Here's another story. Over 900,000 pink slips were given out last year. Yeah, there's no recession, says our president. God bless him. Who are you going to believe, folks? Who are you going to believe? Here's another story. California meltdown. Foreclosures are up 327% from 07 levels. That was last year. Last year we hit records. This year in 08, we're only 5 months into this new year, and we are up from last year 327%. And right here it says that's 500 foreclosures per day in California. Folks, these are not regular times. These are not regular times. And it goes on and on and on. OPEC chief warns, here's another story, of $200 a barrel oil price. Did you hear that? $200 a barrel. Right now we're scraping $120 approximately, $25, it's around there. And we're already paying close to $4 a gallon nationwide. Some places are past $4. And that's with oil being $120, $25 a barrel. How much is gas going to cost when it hits $200 a barrel? How much? $6? $7? $8? It's going to go up. We're going to be in trouble. People are going to have to be juggling just to put gas in the car. I mean, that's unheard of. How many hours a day will people have to be working with their hourly wage just to get to work? So in the past, so many hours a day were sacrificed for daycare. And a little bit, a pittance maybe was for gas. Maybe the first hour of work was for gas. But now we're going to have 2 and 3 hours of work are going to be needed just to pay for the gas to get to work. Now, folks, we're in trouble. Is there any stop to this? So what does this mean, Brother Nathan? What does this mean? And okay, you got my attention. You're scaring me. What does this mean? Let me tell you what it means. The time of sorrows has begun here on this earth. They've begun. Matthew 24. The beginning of sorrows. You would see wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, nation rising against nation, pestilence, the time of sorrows. That's where we are right now, brethren. How long is that period going to last? That part, I do not know. I don't know. Is this just a cycle of quarterly downturn in America? Is that all it is? Just a little statistical glitch, a correction on the stock market, a correction in the real estate market? No. No, it's not. Because we have the perfect storm forming right now in America that's affecting every facet of the American economy. We have food shortages happening right now. Wheat hit an all-time high yesterday or the day before, all-time high, highest ever in history. We have rice being rationed at some grocers, Sam's Club and Costco. You've heard that by now. And of course, that hasn't been on the news now for over a week, so has that died down? Is everything back to normal? No, it's not, because other countries are actually having food riots, fighting over their food. I mean, you have that happen in the Caribbean, in Haiti, in Egypt, Somalia, India, Philippines. It's happening all over the world where people are actually starting to worry and fight over food. Now, what's the end result of that going to be? Are there going to be wars started over food? Well, what did Jesus say? There will be wars and rumors of wars. So that's one area, food. And then on top of that, we have what's going on in the economy. With gas going up, 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 up like it is, it's going to affect everything. It affects delivery prices. It affects the truckers. A lot of truckers can't even afford to be truckers anymore. Independent haulers, they can't afford to do it. And some of you listening, maybe that's you. You know, God bless you. Man, I feel for you. Nobody is going to be immune to what's coming, folks. Well, I don't have to worry because I have my IRA, my 401k is going to take care of me. Really? Have you noticed how the dollar is losing value weekly? It's going down, 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 down. The dollar is becoming worthless. It's just losing its value. There is no faith in the world in our dollar any longer. Now, how bad is that going to get? Well, it's going to get to the point where the dollar will crash. Eventually, our U.S. dollar is going to crash. Now, because nations of the world use our dollar to deliver goods, to exchange goods in their commodities, or use dollars to buy oil. OPEC used the dollar as a peg to exchange and buy oil and fill them tankers up with crude oil. But Iran just recently stopped using the dollar for oil transactions. And there's another story that says, this came from Kuwait, other OPEC nations are going to start using euros or other instead of the dollar for oil transactions. When countries quit using our dollar, that affects the value of the dollar. Now, every month, our treasury needs to sell treasury bills, and that's what keeps the dollar having its value. And nations of the world will invest, buy those treasury bills with the guarantee that when they trade them in and they mature, that they will get that money back plus a little bit of interest. Well, if nations stopped doing that, if they decided that they don't want to hold treasury bills anymore, the value of the dollar would crash. China could bring us to our knees by just dumping the dollar overnight. Or Japan could do it. So we are in trouble right now. Our dollar is not pegged to gold like it used to be. It's not pegged to anything. In fact, if you really wanted to know the truth, our dollar is pegged to the U.S. military. And the U.S. military having bases all around the world and, in a way, forcing these nations around the world to keep using the dollar. That's all we have to back up the dollar, our military. That's it. So we're in trouble, and eventually our dollar is going to collapse. It's going to be worthless, and we can see in history this happening to other countries. Argentina went through it recently, or actually a few decades ago. At the end of World War II, we all heard the stories about the German mark where wheelbarrow fulls were used just to go buy a loaf of bread. In fact, it got to the point it was so worthless, they used it to heat their houses. They would burn the marks, the bills, or they used them as wallpaper at the end of World War II in Germany. So this has happened before in other nations in history. And for those of you that have not been following the news for a while, God bless America. God shed his grace on thee. God would never allow anything bad to happen to America is the cry from people who do not know any better. Unfortunately, God is going to judge America. The blessing of God has long since left the shores of America. He has pulled back his protection. He's going to spank America. He's going to discipline America. And the number one reason this is coming is because the church has dropped the ball on the job that we're supposed to do. I plan to do a lot of broadcasts that address that very situation on what has going on, this phenomenon of mega churches that are overtaking every city in America, swallowing up, that they're cannibalizing the Christian membership of little tiny churches are having to shut their doors because they can't compete with a mega church that has a coffee bar in their church. They can't compete with a church that is just cool to go to and fun with cool rock music as worship. How do you compete with that? So in the natural, a megachurch might seem nice and cool, but unfortunately, the phenomena of the megachurch is killing the American church. It is killing the Church of the West. It is killing the gospel. The message of the gospel is dying. This phenomena that we are witnessing in megachurches is fulfilling biblical prophecy. It was foretold in the Bible. I'm going to address that. Now, there are some people that I know that are in ministry in megachurches, and I've called and talked to them about it, asking them about the message and the phenomena of what's going on in their churches, and they are totally blind. The ministers in these megachurches have no clue that they're inside of a dead carcass. They don't have a clue. They think they're serving a useful purpose to have seminars and feel-good messages and have people gather to come to their churches. So I'm going to address that phenomenon. And by the way, when I address the phenomenon of the megachurches and what's going on, I plan to document everything I say, all right? The leadership of some of these churches that are behind this whole movement, I'm going to address and name some names. And if it offends you, I'm sorry if it offends you, brethren. But you need to hear the truth about the wolves that are out there, because there's wolves out there. Now, there might be some people wondering to themselves, right this very minute, why does Watchman come down so hard on the megachurches? What's the big deal? They preach a message of the gospel, don't they? They are full of people that are learning about God, are they not? And friends, that's a fair question to be asking. But whenever there's a job description given out in the Bible for a shepherd, for a spiritual leader, for a pastor, for a teacher, that job description also comes with high standards and high expectations from God Almighty. I want to just read a portion of scripture that's found in Jeremiah. Take your Bible right now and turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. And that's in the Old Testament, of course. Are you there? Jeremiah, chapter 6. By the way, if you have to pause me while you go get your Bible, why don't you just do that? Pause me right now, because I want you to read this along with me. Okay, pause me. Okay, unpause. Here we go. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 10, let's read. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them." Now, this is talking about the children of Israel. In this passage of Scripture, we're talking about the children of God, who you would think have a love for the words of God and have a love for the law of God. But what does it say right here? It says the word of the Lord is a reproach to the people of God. That means the people of God don't even like to hear the word of God. It's a reproach to them. They don't like it. Going on, It says, they have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. I will pour it out on the children outside and on the assembly of young men together. For even the husband shall be taken with the wife, the aged with him who is full of days. And their houses shall be turned over to others, fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly. Now this is talking about the priests. The priests have healed the hurting people slightly. Did they heal them all the way, folks? Does it say that the priests healed the people all the way with their infirmities or with what they needed healing with? No, it says they healed them a little bit, slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they even know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Now, as we read that, folks, that's a pretty hard word, right? That's not an ear-tickling message that says God wants to bless you and make you rich and give you a brand new car. That's not what this message is about. In fact, it says right here that the priests are saying peace, peace when there is no peace coming. The problem that I have with the mega churches is that I see them repeating what we read here in Jeremiah. I see them repeating the lack of fulfillment of their job description. They're not healing the people all the way, and they're lying to the people, telling them that everything is great. There's also another mention in here of something that I want to just touch briefly. And in the future, I might spend some time with it, but I feel that I need to touch this right now. If this applies to you, by the way, brethren, if what I'm about to say applies to you, then let it apply, because this is the Word of God, okay? It says, were they ashamed, in verse 15, Jeremiah 6:15, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed. They did not even know how to blush. So what that is saying right there is the people of God who should know the law of God, and to know to stay away from certain things, and who should also know that if they do participate, or they happen to stumble in certain areas, they should be ashamed and blushing. But here it says, they're not even ashamed when they stumble. Now here's what I want to bring up. I have heard from certain people, certain brethren, that have attended megachurches, that told me they had to quit attending the megachurch, and here's why. It has to do with the pastors and the leadership don't even have the guts and the boldness to stand up for the Word of God. But here's one of the reasons, and that is because when you go to church, there's a possibility that if you're a man, you might find yourself lusting after the women when you're there. Whoa, what did he just say? Hon, can you rewind that? What did the watchman just say? Yes, that's right, you heard me right. Some people have told me that they had to quit attending the megachurch because the men have a problem lusting when they go to the megachurch. What in the world are you talking about, brother? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how the church has not been taught by the leadership that they have to have a standard that is higher than what we see in the world. But unfortunately, because the leaders are weaklings and hirelings and they don't care about the souls of their people, they don't lead like they're supposed to lead. As a result, you have women who come to church and they're not told that they need to watch how they dress. It says in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, chapter 2, it says, in like manner, also the women should adorn themselves in modest apparel. It says that in 1 Timothy, folks. But that's not what we see happening in churches. I see women who go to church, from the teenagers to the young college-age women to people who are grown-ups, 50 and 60-year-olds. I've seen this for myself, folks. I've seen women who go to church who should know better and should have a higher standard, who dress like they're advertising something that's not for sale. Britney Spears goes to church now across America in every megachurch, or even if it's not a megachurch, pastors are not challenging the people that you shouldn't be looking like Britney Spears at church. What are you talking about, brother? I'm talking about that look that is out there and very popular right now, those jeans, those lowrider jeans with a fat belt and the thong hanging up above the belt, with the stomach lining showing, with a piercing and a tattoo. I've seen grown-ups dress that way, folks, and it's pathetic. As I read in the book of Jeremiah, it says, did the people blush? Were they even ashamed? And here's the sad part. they're not taught to be ashamed. They're not taught to have a high standard. So, as a result, you have Britney Spears going to church in every mega church across America with men standing behind them trying to worship when they're dressed that way with high heels on. Now, folks, you tell me, is that fulfilling what 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 says? Therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting holy hands without wrath and without doubting, and let the women adorn themselves modestly. In order for a man to be worshiping, lifting holy hands in church, he doesn't need a girl to look like Britney Spears standing in front of him. But unfortunately, that's what we see. Now, I know those are hard words, but folks, it needs to be said. And dad, if you're listening to me right now, dad, you have your daughter going to church looking like that, and you allow it, shame on you. And also, hubby, honey, if you are allowing your wife to go to church looking like that, shame on you. What's wrong with you? It's about time that you got some boldness and stood up and became the priest of the house like you should be. And it's time that men nationwide who go to church and call themselves Christians quit allowing their daughters to be advertising themselves when they go to church. You need to have a higher standard, folks. And brethren, this is what I'm talking about. The standard has been reduced to something so low that you can walk all over it with your feet. It has been trodden underfoot. The standards of God are no longer valid. That is why I have a problem with what is going on in the church today. Hopefully some of you are saying, amen, brother, thank you. Finally, someone talking about it. Well, I'm not the only one talking about it. Actually, there are other watchmen and prophets of God that are talking about it. So I'm just another one of them. I'm nothing special. I'm just going to say it how it is. I'm going to have the boldness to say it because it needs to be said. It needs to be identified. It needs to be said. Now, also, I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast, I said something that might have been shocking for some of you when I said that the media lies to people or sterilizes the news. That part I'm also going to address in future broadcasts. I'm going to address and show you with documentation what's going on in this world and what's going on with the media, because all the arms of life, all the things that affect our lives that we're exposed to, like news and music and entertainment and the way people dress and the message that's coming from churches, all these things are related, and they're related in a way that is fulfilling Bible prophecy. Now, the Bible says in Revelation during the tribulation that the beast, in Revelation 13, it says, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns. All right, there's a lot of debate. What is the beast? Who is the beast? Is it a he? Is it the Antichrist? Is it a person? Is it a government? Is it an empire? Well, we're going to talk about the beast rising up. But let me say this, folks. What is happening right now in the American economy, the end result out of everything that's happening right now, and these events that are taking place are going to take several years to transpire. My estimate is that by 2010, end of 2009, next year, our economy is going to collapse. We are probably going to be in a depression by then, if not sooner. How long that depression lasts, I don't know, but out of the ashes of the depression that's coming is going to rise up the beast of Revelation chapter 13. That is what is going to rise up. And if that's the case, if the beast is going to rise up, by the way, I'm going to show you with scripture and prove this to you. And I'm also going to show you with news stories, with printed out documents, and I'll put them on my website so you can see the leaders of our world. Their goal is to get us to a new world order where we have a one world government. They have it planned out. They've been working on it for years. The engine, the spiritual force driving this whole plan is, of course, the enemy, Satan. He's behind this whole plan, and he's working toward it. And that's what we're going to see come out of the ashes of the American economic collapse. So to say it's just going to be an economic downturn and things are going to get back to normal, no. Sorry. Strike that. No. What is going to come out of what's coming is the New World Order beast system that is going to affect your life. It's going to affect the way you live. It's going to affect the way you work. It's going to affect what you're allowed to do. The freedoms that you are allowed are going to be drastically changed in the next few years. Some events are coming, brethren, that are going to forever change the American way of life. They are coming. They've been forecasted. They've been planned. The enemy is behind it, and there are people in this world that follow the enemy that want to make sure that these plans happen. So that's part of what we're going to talk about, and I want to wake you up and warn you so that you are prepared and you know what to look for when it happens, so that you are not deceived, so that when the news happens on the news, when these events begin to happen, that you will know that it's all a deception and you will not fall for it. Because a lot of people who go to these mega churches and are not listening to the prophets of God And the ones that aren't fortunate to hear what I'm going to be sharing with you will not know what's going on. So we are living in very, very interesting times, brethren. And in a way, we could maybe address it as fearful times, solemn times. But I want you to know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, so we do not need to be afraid in these times. However, we need to nourish a healthy fear of God so that we fear Him while all these events are taking place. Fear not Him that can hurt your body, but fear Him that can destroy your soul. Amen. So thank you for listening. I'm going to be closing now, and I encourage you to go back, listen to what we talked about here. If you happen to have the CD of this, because it will be available, you can order it, and I can send it to you in hard copy, or you can just download it and put it on your iPod and share it with your friends. But I encourage you to share it with your friends, because this message needs to be given to everybody, brethren. You have loved ones that are not living for God. You have loved ones that are struggling. They need to hear this message. They need to wake up. All right. Also, I want to encourage you to go to our website, www.watchmanscry.com. Read through the stories I have in there, the articles and the news that I have. And also, I would also ask this, because I do need to appeal to you for this, brethren. This is a very small ministry. We don't have a big engine of support. It's all through small, tiny little gifts here and there. So I encourage you, and I actually appeal to you that you pray about it. And if you feel that this ministry is doing a job that is worthwhile, then I encourage you to support and send some of your gifts so that we can continue what we're doing. Amen. All right, brethren. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. God bless you.